Okay. Before we begin, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening.
Good evening, Raj.
And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. We had intended to have a meeting this past Sunday, but Paul found himself, bound up. Distracted in argumentative, negative feelings, and as a result could not hear me. And so we ended up not having the meeting. Much later on that night, shortly after midnight, Paul decided that perhaps he ought to have a focused conversation with me and to persist in listening until the conversation occurred. And so I want to share with you all the conversation we had. Because it is pertinent to everyone. We talk and talk and talk about practicing the two-step, practicing the holy instant, and I've been making it clear that it isn't just a pleasant thing to do as relief from the stresses of daily life, but involves something far more significant. It involves waking up. And so, Paul began the conversation by asking, what's the block? Or, what do I need to know? And at this point, after having spent perhaps an hour getting to the point of actually asking me the question, there were four or five minutes, of quiet, in which little light bulbs went on in his mind. Little pieces of revelation. And so I said to him, yes, you are realizing the problem. And this is the problem. You are objecting to being demanded of to make the gift. The logic you are using is that making the gift on demand turns the gift into a non-gift because the making of the gift is transacted and is not actually gifted. It also means that the making of the gift is the result of control, which holds you hostage until you deliver. Mind you, I'm speaking to Paul here. And finally, this means that the making of the gift is no longer an expression of love, because it is a result of negotiation. Now, what you are beginning to be willing to see is that if making the gift is you fulfilling your capital F function, is you being wholly you because it is your choice to not have a mind separate from God, then you will always be making the gift, whether anyone likes it or wants it or not. For someone to demand it then becomes a ridiculous, meaningless redundancy, like demanding someone stand up when they are already standing. And the so-called logic you have been using can be seen for the nonsense it is. So, the issue here is that you would rather stand on some self-righteous principles, which, interestingly enough, are totally lacking in principles, by insisting upon not fulfilling your function and engaging in a struggle of independent wills instead. It is like a toddler saying, "I will not be cute and adorable for you if you expect it of me." If he's cute and adorable, he has no choice about it. He's cute and adorable. If you're the Son of God, you're the Son of God, and there's nothing you can do about it. If it's your function to confirm God in your very being, then there's nothing you can do about it. That's your function. If you don't become sidetracked by a contest of wills, claiming the right to make the gift as an act of your will and not in compliance to another's will, you will have come home. You will be in your right mind. Sanity will prevail. And problems that are nothing more than so much intellectual smoke and mirrors, in other words, illogical logic, will not mystify you, making illusions seem real. The question is, are you going to go ahead and let that mind be in you, which is also in me, and be done with the illusion of independence? Or are you going to continue to pretend that you are an independent thinker who has a capacity to be clear when he chooses to, as a special gift, which no one had better have expectations about, much less demands? You shouldn't feel overwhelmed or intimidated by the expectations of others or the vigor of their demands. I know it feels like confrontation, but only if you're resisting fulfilling your function as a permanent devotion to your Father. In that ungrounded state, you misinterpret the demands as a requirement to be devoted to the ones making them, being controlled. But again, that particular smoke and mirrors configuration of ideas only occurs when your attention is improperly placed on them and you, instead of your father. And, as a result, you are resisting making the gift of him and fulfilling your function of confirming creation. Give up your irrational rationales for withholding the gift or sharing it only at appointed times. Let your right mind prevail. That is the gift. It's also you being normal, with a capital N. Nothing special. Yes, others will expect you to be normal all the time. That's normal. Others will expect you to be sane all the time. That's normal. Others will love you for being normal with a capital N. That's normal too. It doesn't make you special or give you special rights, but it will be special to everyone because it will embody more clearly than ever the truth about them. That's also normal, because it reveals their capital F function and supports the courage it takes for them to fulfill it too, just as you are doing. You see? And that was the end of our conversation. I know everyone thinks that hearing guidance is perhaps a special gift that some have, and thank goodness they do, because it hasn't happened to you. And the only reason it hasn't happened to you is because you haven't given permission for it. You are still honoring your ability to do your own thinking. Willfulness is still present and active. Or human will is still present and active. Very often, guidance is experienced. One hears the Holy Spirit speak, or hears me speak, under great duress, where finally, even though one thought he was willing to hear, he discovers that there's more letting go that he can do, and it is experienced as giving up. Giving up. Giving up all hope. Which really means giving up all hope of coming up with the answer yourself. And it's at that point that there's nothing blocking the door through which the Holy Spirit enters, or the Father enters, or I enter, or your guide enters to speak with you and to stand in front of you, inviting you to move toward it or toward him as he moves through the door, bringing you with him. Because you are not supposed to be caught in some supposed capacity to be able to think for yourself, and as a result of thinking for yourself, proving your worth or your superiority or your value. You see? Now, in a way, it's harder to listen and hear when there is no emergency pushing you, because it requires a degree of willingness that very often you won't bring into play unless there is an emergency pushing you. But it is normal to be experiencing your right mind. It is normal to be performing your function as the Holy Son or Daughter of God by looking with the Father's vision, which the Father gives to you, so that you might recognize Him in everything and complete what I'm going to call the circle of creation, confirming the Father in His expressions. This is not something that will translate you to another incredible world. It is a practice to be engaged in right where you are with whatever is in front of you. Father, I wish to see the more of you that is there than what I'm currently seeing. Father, I wish to experience the clear perspective, the pure perception of what you are being right where I'm looking. And I will not introduce any preconceptions of mine before you have a chance to answer me. I will not prefer my best judgments or my ultimate use of logic to figure out what it is without you. And this is something to be done all the time, because it is what serves as the bridge over the gap of ignorance, bringing you back into your right mind, your clarity, and your divine selfhood. I know I keep saying this over and over in many different ways. But you know what? Perhaps the most significant object, in quotes, that you can look at desiring to see the more of what God is being right there than what you're seeing, is your brother or sister, your fellow man. Because it is your misperception of them that most significantly imprisons you in the darkness of sin, disease, and death. of the human condition, which is really the divine condition perceived through a glass darkly, which means perceived through the lens of your private use of your mind, as though your mind were privately yours to accomplish things with. Humility really does mean failure of the ego. Again, humility really does mean failure of the ego. Humility is what you find yourself experiencing when you have given up on what you call your ego and are willing to set it aside. Oh, I know, everybody can't wait to set their body aside because it's not real. But nobody talks very much about laying aside their ego when that is the one single thing that constitutes the meaning of the holy instant. It is the one single thing that undoes the illusion of mortality and mortal life and all the ugliness and manipulation that goes along with it. There is no one thing that you could better spend your time on than the practice of the holy instant and the intent to be open to and to receive the clarity that comes from the Holy Spirit when you say help and really mean it. What that means is when you say help because you accept that you are all by yourself, hopeless, without hope. And so you stop trying to create something out of nothing through the use of your mind, calling it hope. Is that clear? If it isn't, you can listen to this over and over again. If it isn't, you can count on it that I will keep sharing it until it makes sense and there's a willingness to abandon willfulness. You know, the good news is, and everyone who has ever done it knows this to be true, the simple truth is that when you accept the hopelessness of your being able to do anything all by yourself, and in the absence of the willfulness of trying, you are, as it were, a clean slate. Or a room where the walls and ceiling and floor have fallen away. an infinity is what you find your natural environment to be. You will experience joy, peace, and invulnerability of the sort you can't imagine. Because they will have no opposites against which you must protect yourself. That is an experience that is the experience of bliss. No one wants to be forced to wake up. Let me do it in my time. Or like Paul says, let it be my gift. And let my gift be made. Because it simply flows from him. Not because someone wants it. Not because someone is eager for it and aggressively pleads for it. Wants it right now. When we began this evening, Paul didn't feel quite ready. And yet, it was, let us say, determined that we would be having a study group meeting. It was determined between he and I and a few others who are present. And his attitude was, well, I'm just supposed to do it when I'm not ready. I'm just supposed to do it when it's not yet wonderfully, gently, beautifully emerging from his soul. That's going to be pretty hard. Or that's not going to be easy. You see, that was the smoke and mirrors illusion. The faulty use of logic that seems reasonable. Well, let's wait until tomorrow night when I'm sure I'll be more ready. But no one is ever ready to abandon themselves to the Father's will when the only place they can come from to take that step is a long-standing use of human will. But I pointed out to him, come on, how hard is it to stand on the edge of a cliff and simply let yourself fall? How much energy does that actually take? You see? You let yourself fall. You abandon yourself to the absence of control. And you fall into the underlying, everlasting arms of love, of God. And so he said, okay. And here we are, having the meeting. and it hasn't been laborious for him. You see, when you're coming from the standpoint of a human will, of your own human will, you are responsible for everything, or will have to be responsible for whatever you do. That's frightening. Because what in the world will happen if I don't continue to exercise overt control based upon my best judgments? Based upon my best theories, based upon what life has taught me as I have observed it and the way people behave. I don't know if I want to risk being responsible for what happens when I'm not being responsible according to the definitions I have given to that word. That sense of self, which must be responsible, is an illusion. If it were not, there would be no need for the idea, "Thy will, not mine, be done." There would be no basis for that to be some sort of eternal truth, transformational truth. Now, I'm not going to go on at length about this, but everyone needs to be acutely, or let's say, exquisitely aware in every detail with the fact that the practice of human will, the practice of self-defense, the practice of proving one's worth, is being promoted on a global level, not just in the United States, but primarily in the United States right now. And you know what? Don't be fooled. It is the promotion of the very depths of the fall. It is the promotion of the ultimate forms of "my will, not thine, be done" that is being promoted and which is being used to arouse similar sentiments and feelings. So that everyone might, or a vast majority might, take hold of this premise and actualize it more completely than ever before. "Thy will, not mine, be done." love your neighbor as yourself. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen your brother, you have seen the Father. As I have loved you, love one another. I could say, as I have excluded you, exclude one another. But I have not excluded anyone. And so that means, do not exclude anyone yourselves. And do not let this become a premise for your actions in the world. You are going to need to choose well those who will be voting in the United States. Because your vote will be a vote in the world and for the world. Whereas the wrong choice will be a vote against the world. A vote for walls. A vote for exclusion. A vote for withdrawal from the family, the brotherhood of man. It will be a vote for everything that stands in complete opposite to what the Voice for Love says. The exact opposite of everything I am teaching. The exact opposite of what you are truly seeking. Oh, it's really neat to have someone who speaks up and who doesn't cater to the existing protocols. Really? Well, if that's true, then would you join me in lifting up your voice and not being politically correct or spiritually correct? And will you, with the same amount of vigor and with great output of energy, spread it globally, the truths that we are talking about, the truths that you're learning from your study of A Course in Miracles, or the truth that you know in your heart and feel in spite of all the junk that is going on? Hey, if you like someone who rocks the boat, then be someone that rocks the boat. And say the truth that counteracts the lies about how human nature is and about how man should treat man. You know, don't be a fool. Don't be fools. And look with careless eyes and say, it's really neat to see someone stand up and speak his mind and let the chips fall where they may. Wow. When what is being said is the opposite of the truth, is not in harmony with God's law, It is not a time to be amused by or curious about or, oh, lenient. It's exactly the time to speak up yourself. And say the uncommon truth that is the truth that transforms and unites and heals and wholeizes that which is already whole and uncovers the kingdom of heaven that is already the only thing going on but not seen, because there are so many who are fascinated by divisive, small-minded, mean-spirited thoughts that seem to have a lot of energy to them. Yes, they have energy, and it's an energy very different from the energy of love. It's an energy very different from the energy of soul. It's an energy very different from harmony. And you know what? If harmony isn't going on, the answer isn't the bold use of inharmony, of force, but rather the persistent expression of that which is educational, of that which is true and is so clearly expressed that it attracts attention and agreement. Because the benefit of it is healing. You notice that the one who is promoting the dissension is not being met with much objection. This is wrong. Correction is called for. Are you the students of truth, the students of A Course in Miracles, the sons and daughters of God who have some comprehension of what those words mean? Do you have the courage and the willingness to bring commitment to declaring the truth, to not remaining silent or managing somehow to slough off any substantive responses when the subject comes up in discussion? Oh, you know, remain silent and do not object. And you will find yourselves slowly being guided en masse into the gas chambers or behind the wall, provided, of course, for your safekeeping from the rest of the bastards out there. It is not time to be silent. It is not time to be aloof. It is not time to be uninvolved. It's not time to be in a false sense of peace within yourself by saying, oh, God will take care of everything, or, oh, this too shall pass away. What you don't want to have, you must disavow your support of. You must withdraw your support from it and replace it with correction. Evil is just you saying nothing. When human will is undermining your willingness to practice the two-step, the holy instant, and to listen for the truth until you hear it, and then act upon it as it reveals to you what steps to take. I will assure you that the steps will not be ongoing silence. If a child in elementary school writes 2 plus 2 equals 5 on his math paper, his teacher will not say nothing. His teacher will say, no, Johnny, look again here. 2 plus 2 equals 4. And she may take two blocks and put them together and ask him to count them up so that he can see that 2 plus 2 equals 1, 2, 3, 4. She takes the time to educate. She takes time to draw a picture, so to speak, to illuminate the idea, to amplify the idea of the truth of the fact that 2 plus 2 equals 4. So you see, this is all very important. Every single one of you has a gift to make. And you're being called upon to make it every time you turn on the television, no matter where you are in the world, and see the news about what's happening in the electoral process in the United States. Because what's happening there affects everywhere. And everyone everywhere practicing the holy instant, connecting with their right mind, makes a difference in the United States. You have an inconvenient call to make the gift. It's coming whether you are ready or not. It's here, whether you feel equal to it or not. And of course, you will not be equal to it as a tiny, small-minded, independent thinker. And if you identify yourself as that, you will feel incompetent and overwhelmed. But that won't be the truth. It will just be the effect of the perspective you're choosing to use. Change the perspective by saying, I of myself can do nothing. Father, what is the truth here? I don't even care to think that I have a capacity to do anything to correct it all by myself. So, Father, I lean into your love. I allow myself to collapse off of the cliff, where I no longer let my legs hold me up, where I no longer to use any part of me to hold me up. And I ask you, Father, what is the truth? What is your perspective? Because I have learned, at least intellectually, that my function is to glorify you. My function is to live your vision. And so I'm going to neglect to hold myself up any further. And I'm going to lean over. I'm just going to not put forth the effort to stand up straight any longer. And I'm going to collapse over the edge into your infinite love and your infinite perspective, which you gave to me, continually give to me in the act of creation, giving me the responsibility to acknowledge you in it and not suppose that I'm supposed to be responsible for it. Do not make your mark on a piece of paper that doesn't promote the truth. Else I promise you, you will find yourself faced with the emergencies that will cause you to allow yourself to fail, to be humiliated as an ego, and end up rediscovering your humility. And in your humbleness, find the Father filling you once again so full that it will all be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. But I'm telling you, you don't have to have emergency be the thing that causes you to change your mind. And yield to the Father's will and discover the glory of coming home again. Truly, what is going on in the United States is going on in the world. And it is everywhere in the world that each one of you needs to rediscover who you are and what your purpose is, and correct what calls for correction by giving voice to the truth that turns everyone once again to the Father's love, the Father's presence, the omnipresence of Him. Not as an idea, but as an experience, a profound experience. Truly, what's going on right now in the world is just about all the emergency you should need to have to get you to get your attention and to get you to stand up and be the presence of the correction under the Father's guidance through the loving practice of educating and illuminating everyone with the truth that counteracts this preoccupation with hate and fear. That's what's called for. That's the inconvenient call for the gift that no one feels ready for, but everyone has the capacity to address. I love you all. And I want you to be conscious enough and awake enough to love each other likewise, no matter what the color of your skin, no matter what your religion, no matter how screwed up you've been. That's the truth that transforms. I look forward to being with you next time.